Well, hello, friends. Here we are at the beginning of the Blessed One's webinar commentaries, number 2 in Esoteric Psychology 2, page 31. We've been speaking about certain high states of consciousness and how in these high states, which are characteristic of the adept, in isolated unity, I would say, the center of consciousness is far removed from any individual separate identity. And that factor has faded away, and only the macrocosmic life is sentiently realized. One has attunement to this all-pervading entity, the one life, and the individual reactions have faded out, and so has that state of being which we call egoic on the higher mental plane. It too has faded out. No attention is being paid to it. It drops away, and life and mind persist but cannot be influenced or swayed by the lower factors. Going on, nevertheless, though, the consciousness is other than all that has been hitherto known. And there is consciousness. You know, sometimes he says, well, we move onward in life and consciousness is superseded, but the truth of the matter is, I think that consciousness as we know it is superseded. And that there is a type of consciousness which is non-dual, and which we are, in our dualistic state, striving to achieve. Of course, in a way it already exists, so we simply have to get out of the way and allow that consciousness to present itself. Everything that we think we are and think we have been has to be put to the side, and we have to withdraw our identification from partials, I would say. What I'm saying here is that we must learn to withdraw our identification from what I will call partials, which are, or specificities, or better yet, formal specificities. It's something less concrete, less definite in the formal sense with which we identify, or better yet, as which we identify. It's not, if we say with which, you see, in the matter of identification, I'll write it down. In the matter of identification, if we say with which I identify, it is less accurate than to say as which I identify. Of course, the I, we still have a kind of dualism there, but we have to drop our customary limited sense of I. So, nevertheless, though the consciousness is other than all that has been hitherto known, and though it can only be expressed in terms of negation, the truth must be borne constantly in mind that the greater awareness must always include the lesser awarenesses. The greater awareness must always include the lesser awarenesses. I've applied this to the field of astrology. In astrology, the true esoteric astrologer should be very aware of all that exoteric astrology can offer. So it's always, the key is this phrase, move on but include. Move on but include all that is of value from the past. And simply move on though include. Move on though include. Consequently, all possible actions and reactions, identifications and focusings, awarenesses and contacts, ray impulses, approaches and withdrawals, and all possible expressions of the divine activity and qualities, phenomenal and non-phenomenal, are included in the state of being, which is now the natural state of the liberated, enlightened spiritual existence. The liberated and enlightened spiritual existence, that's what we strive to become. And we lose nothing of the knowledges we have had. We lose nothing of all the DK has mentioned here, and when you stop to think about what we do within our consciousness, we see he's pretty much included most of it. Actions, reactions, identifications, that which we focus upon, that which of which we become aware, our contacts, the impulses that come from rays, our approaches, our withdrawals, all possible expressions of the divine activity and qualities, both phenomenal and non-phenomenal, so of the lower worlds of matter form and of the higher worlds of energy pattern, higher worlds of energy pattern, all that is included in the state of being, which is now the natural state of the liberated and enlightened spiritual existence which we seek to be, which we are. All are possible of recovery through the will or in response to need. But the spiritual being is no longer held by them or identified with them. The spiritual being, and there I think we have, that's a good one for an abbreviation. Spiritual being. Oops, little spelling. Spiritual being. Always realizes itself to be something other, and yet the same. So the paradoxes persist. Each of the stages on the great path of liberation or enlightenment with which we have been concerned, individualization, initiation, and identification, have led the life of the life of the spiritual interior man, he is the life, from point to point, from quality to quality. So let's note that. The spiritual interior man is the life. From quality to quality, from point to point, from realization to realization, from phenomenal appearance to spiritual living, from physical awareness to sentient emotional awareness, and from that to mental differentiation and separateness. He has been carried from hell to heaven. Well, let's say hell, you know, life in the lower worlds of form, to heaven, from heaven to nirvana, because heaven can still be quite formal, whereas relatively, nirvana is not. Okay, where as to nirvana, from the life conditioning of the personal ego to that of the group soul. And here somehow the word ego is capitalized, and maybe this word ego should not be capitalized in this context. From the life conditioning of the personal ego to that of the group soul, and thence to that of the liberated state of pure intuitional life beyond that of the group soul. He has passed from form experience as a whole to that complete freedom from all vibratory impressions, which it is the nature of pure being, divorced from phenomenal existence, to experience. Freedom from, let's say, freedom from, but not lack of awareness of, unless he chooses to tune these vibrations out. Pardon me. To tune these vibrations out altogether. Altogether. But at the same time, nothing is lost of capacity or quality or of sentient awareness. This is beautifully expressed for us in the words of the old commentary found in the archives of the masters. And here, this begins our discussion of the Blessed Ones. I remember when I wrote my book on the Seven Rays long ago, now 25 years ago, I did not relate the Blessed Ones to the monadic states. But as you begin to realize, we are dealing here with trans-egoic states, are we not? I think I want to put that in. As an anchor, we are dealing with trans-egoic, lowercase states, beyond the confines. Bay, that'd be a good one. Beyond the confines of the influence of the egoic lotus, aren't we? So, in a way, that which transcends the egoic lotus is the spiritual triad, which is nothing but the projection or extension in a lower field of limitation of the monad. So it's always the monad here in these trans-egoic states. And when we talk with the Blessed Ones, it's about the monad, though not necessarily on its own plane, still the monad within the five lower worlds, and especially within the three lower worlds. And this maybe I did not realize 25 years ago when I was working in this, and in studying the monad over the years, it began to dawn upon me that DK has given us the hint to monadic psychology in this section on individualization and the Blessed Ones. It all comes back to the question of who do we really think we are. So anyway, from the old commentary, the quality of life fades out. It flickers and is gone, yet the Blessed Ones reveal at will that quality. The color pure remains. The nature of life in form fails to appear. It flashes forth a little while, then disappears. The Blessed Ones at will can take a form, yet are not then the form. The seven great rays sweep into manifested life. They are, and then are not. All is, and all is not. But the Blessed Ones at any time can sweep into sweep forth into manifested light. They carry then the potencies of spirit to meet the need expressed. Light holds them not. Their purpose is not imprisoned. Their will is not subdued. They appear and disappear at will. Well, you know, we're obviously dealing with something here that is not just the ego on the higher mental plane. We're dealing with the true spirit, or the one who has realized himself as spirit and has reclaimed the potencies of spirit. So it's the quality of life fades out, because we are dealing with the realm of being. And we are not focused on the differentiated DIFFT. That seems like a good one, or FTD, okay. DIFFT, I think I'll use that. As I often use this word, and this is the opportunity, differentiated. Differentiated. Okay, we're not concerned with the differentiated world of quality, the different colors and notes. We are concerned with the essence, with the being. So in our particular focus on being, we are not focused on quality or form. It flickers and is gone, and something else takes its place. Yet the Blessed Ones reveal at will that quality. The color pure remains. They have the capacity as being consciousnesses being consciousnesses, BNC. So let's try that. BNC, being consciousnesses. Being consciousnesses. They have the ability as being consciousnesses to reproduce quality, because the noumenon of quality exists within them. If the color pure remains, we say in them, but not the color impure in form. So they possess the noumenon of quality, inherent inherent in their triadal life with its permanent atoms, and with its higher permanent atoms, we would say. And with the central fire released from the egoic lotus, now focused in Atma Buddhi. The quality of life fades out, it flickers and is gone, yet the Blessed Ones reveal at will that quality. They are possessed of it in its pure form. The color pure remains, the color or real quality remains. The nature of life and form fails to appear. They are beyond the need to reincarnate. For most, It flashes forth a little while, then disappears, according to the cycle of reincarnation. This is how it usually is with most people. Okay. The blessed ones, however, at will can take a form, yet are not then the form. So, either as a Mayavarupa or as a what's called a Tulku, whereby the lesser disciple stands aside and lets the greater disciple manifest through his vehicles. So having passed the fourth initiation, there is no need for the reappearance of form. For most, the form flashes forth a little while then disappears, and even in the Mayavarupa, you can decide whether you will make yourself demonstrable for a short time or a larger time. If you sustain the vehicle, the body, you're really sustaining the capacity to generate it. You can persist in the generation of this vehicle, and it can remain as a normal vehicle would remain. And at times we are told the vehicle is stored in a certain place. And in the initiate books, one of the disciples was looking over and tending to and guarding and protecting the vehicle of his master while that master was, as they say, out and about. Oot and a boot. I was told by an old Scotsman that the Highland people who knew about these things, about astral projection and about the leaving of the body, spoke of being oot and a boot. The blessed ones at their own will can take a form, or should we say, or generate a form, or generate a form, yet are not the form. And of course they have long since made this fundamental Mercurian-Saturnian discrimination at the fourth degree. They are not the form. And they can relinquish the form and do relinquish the form in the great conflagration. And yet all the potencies which can generate form are possessed by them inherently as part of their faculties. So they have mastery over form in the lower worlds and can put in an appearance which is very much a reflection of themselves and, as we are told, is rather often the same appearance as they had when they were fifth degree initiates. Of course, that raises an interesting question. Did they take the fifth initiation in a naturally born body? It looks like Master DK did in 1875, an older body. So when he regenerates or when he creates a Mayavarupa, it's often the reflection of the form which the master had at the fifth degree. But if they died at the fourth degree, I suppose they could have been reborn in the natural way. Can you be reborn as a fourth degree initiate? Is it likely, or is it more likely that, as Master Jesus did in relation to Apollonius, he took the body of Apollonius and took that initiation at that time? So then what would have been the image on which the Mayavarupa was created, because he did not have a natural vehicle, a naturally born vehicle, at the fifth degree. He had Apollonius's vehicle when he took the fifth degree. So when he would regenerate as a Mayavarupa, a vehicle, would it be on the model of the vehicle he had at the fourth degree? This just occurred to me and, you know, will one day need to be solved. The nature of life and form fails to appear. It flashes forth a little while, then disappears. The blessed ones at will can take a form, yet are not then the form. The seven great rays sweep into manifested life as a result of their ray cycles. They are and then are not. This is natural, their natural, as it were, incarnational presence. They come and they go, and they are present and not present according to cycles. Not present according to their cycles. All is and all is not. All is, how to resolve this paradox, all is internally and subjectively, and all is, all is, well, all is internally and subjectively, yes, and all is not, or all is externally and objectively, and yet is not really there at all. So all appears to be, we might say, I'll put this here. I want to solve this paradox. all is, all appears to be. And all is not really an appearance. But all is internally, and yet when it appears, it is not really there, it's only actually there. When there is an appearance, it is not really, let's see, that which seems to be. It is what it is in the inner worlds. So the seven great rays sweep in. They are and then are not. And something is and then is not. All is and then all is not. All that seems to be is actual, but not real. I think that's what's really being said. All that to be is actual, but not real. But the blessed ones at any time. See, these others, men or human beings and rays, all have their particular regulated cycles. But the blessed ones at will and at any time can sweep forth into manifested light. That which is manifested is really condensed or crystallized light. They can sweep forth into manifestation at any time. They can, as it were, put in an appearance anywhere, at any time, within the ring pass knot, at least, of the worlds that they have mastered. They carry, then, the potencies of spirit to meet the expressed needs, and the potencies of spirit include all potencies which have been generated and gathered below, plus additional potencies which pertain to the higher worlds and which were not generated or gathered from below. They carry then the potencies of spirit to meet the need expressed, and this is why they flash forth. They flash forth to meet the need. So, you know, the Blessed One is really the spiritual, the Let's call it something here. We'll call it the SU. We'll call it the Spirit Unit. The Blessed One is the Spirit Unit. Or, you know, other things as well. But let's get it spelled correctly. Spirit Unit. Is the Spirit Unit who comes forth from non-objectivity into objectivity for the state, for the purpose of service. Who comes forth from non-objectivity into objectivity for the sake of service. We've often heard of the great ones appearing to people here and there, far away, even simultaneously. This has to do with their spirit potential, their ability to duplicate themselves in image, which is very interesting, I think. Just excuse me for a moment. I'll just get rid of my interfering Skype. Light holds them not, and light is matter. Light, let's say, is matter, and the basis of form. So they are not held by phenomenality. And they are not held by the necessity to appear. They are not held by the necessity to be visible in the lower worlds. Their purpose is not imprisoned by what? Their purpose is not imprisoned by conditions. Their will is not subdued by forces in the lower worlds. They appear and disappear at will. And who can do that? This is a power of the central fire, the monad, whether focused in the spiritual triad or focused in the monadic vehicle. So the true inner man possesses these abilities and comes forth into objectivity, into, let's call it, into light, i.e. into objectivity at will. Their purpose is not imprisoned, their will is not subdued, they appear and disappear at will. So, you know, is the Blessed One the monad? The monad in extension? And I also want to call something else the monad in Mia, a little Italian here. I'm going to call this Mia. And another important concept, I think. The monad in attenuation. Monad in attenuation. When you attenuate something, you make it thinner, you make it more transparent, more translucent, more transparent. Attenuation. There we go. You reduce its qualities, or its power at least. You reduce its capacity by subjecting it to the lower worlds, to the incursions of the lower worlds. We are all in these lower worlds. We are monads in extension. We are monads in attenuation. Attenuation. All right. So let me read that again. So we will have the sense of continuity. The seven great rays, and here we are. The quality of life fades out. It flickers and is gone. Yet the Blessed Ones reveal at will that quality. The color pure remains. The nature of life in form fails to appear. It flashes forth a little while, then disappears. The Blessed Ones at will can take a form, yet are not then the form. The seven great rays sweep into manifested life. They are and then are not. All is and all is not. But the Blessed Ones at any time can sweep forth into manifested light. They carry then the potencies of spirit to meet the need expressed. Light holds them not. Their purpose is not imprisoned. Their will is not subdued. They appear and disappear at will. Well, we have been given contrast, and so I want to make sure that my interpretations fit with the contrasts. It's all about what normally happens and then what the Blessed Ones can do. In the ordinary individual, the quality of life fades out from experience. It flickers and is gone. It flickers and is gone. For the ordinary individual, with death. Yet the Blessed Ones can reveal that quality at will. For the ordinary individual, the nature of life and form at some point fails to appear. It flashes forth a little while, then disappears. The ordinary individual dies, and the form cannot continue. It is present for but a little while. But the Blessed Ones at will can take a form, yet are not then the form. Their identification is other. Even such great lives as the seven great rays sweep into manifested life, they are and then are not, and all, everything appears to be cyclically and yet fades out. It's not a reality. All is, and we could almost say then, all is not. It comes and goes. But the Blessed Ones at any time can sweep forth into manifested light according to their will and the need for service. They carry the potencies of the Spirit and all they have accumulated from below to meet the need expressed, because that is their sole purpose. They are, in a way, they are avataric, coming with gifts from above, purely for the purpose of giving and with no gain to themselves. Light holds them not. We are held by light. We are held by crystallized light. We are held in the lower three worlds by, what should we call it, crystallized light. Or densified light. But they are not. Light holds them not. Their purpose is not imprisoned, as is ours, which cannot express itself fully. Their will is not subdued, and our higher will is subdued by all kinds of habitual and elemental reactions. They appear and disappear at will, and we do not. We live here in this vehicle and disappear either at the will of the soul or when the karma is such that we must disappear. So the state of the Blessed One is a blessed state. It is spiritually privileged, but the privilege has been earned. And we are on our way to earning the same, but we have to see objectively what is the goal. An expression of the truth of this can be seen demonstrating in the world each full moon of May, when the Buddha flashes forth into manifestation. And that is definitely an occult process undertaken by a high consciousness, an occult process undertaken by a very high consciousness. He flashes forth into manifestation for the fulfillment of the plan. So it is purposeful and at the urgent behest of his own spiritual will, responding to a very high prompting within himself, originating, and from whence this origination, from his own highest principles, and from the Lord of the world, other high beings. So he made his own decision to be on the path of earth service. He serves by re-manifesting himself in Maya Virupic form, and probably in the form of the Prince Gautama. We don't know how far Gautama went in his initiations. We know the Buddha has taken the sixth degree and is in process over time of taking the seventh degree. That is, I think, the implication, as he and the Christ will appear before the one initiator during the Aquarian Age. And the Christ has begun the seventh, so certainly the Buddha has as well. And then onward, naught holds the blessed ones, neither the deities nor form, neither desire nor mind, nor any quality of life. Pure life are they, pure being and pure will, pure love and pure intent. This is all that unenlightened man can grasp, and only that in part. So they are truly liberated. Well, certainly from the causal vehicle. And are they liberated from the monadic vehicle? I think it's possible to be a blessed one and not be liberated from that vehicle yet. It is, I think, possible, positive, PSB. Possibility, PB, possible, to function as a blessed one and not be liberated from the monadic vehicle. Eventually as the volatile essence, they are not yet free. Free of the cosmic physical plane. They are not initiates that high, as far as I know, but perhaps one could call an initiate of even such an exalted rank by the name Blessed One. Some have thought that the Buddha really is already on the cosmic astral plane. Of course, Shambhala is not, and he's in Shambhala. But anyway, on the cosmic astral plane and would be some kind of eighth degree initiate, at which point we would say he's really liberated from the cosmic physical plane, though not refusing contact with the cosmic physical plane, as the ninth degree initiate must do. Naught holds the blessed ones. They are not held by form. Neither the deities nor form. And the deities, who are they? Well, certainly in one respect, they are the Rajadeva lords, and the lords of certain domains which imprison those who work within those domains. The Blessed One can come and go. He's not held by frequency, by light, by vibration in the lower worlds. He is not held by frequency, light, vibration in the five worlds of human evolution. Five worlds. So various entities, his will is free. And sometimes we are subject to inner deities, and he has the freedom of will not to be subject. Neither desire nor mind holds him. He has no desire for the lower worlds per se, but only to serve the lower worlds. And he has no need to know more about the lower worlds because he knows all that can be known of these worlds, and nor any quality of life. So let's just say that no ray tendencies hold the blessed ones. And let's see, B, hello, S, good, all right. Pure life are they. They realize themselves as essence. As essence. Pure life they are. Pure being. And pure will. Now, is that not the definition of a monad? definition of a monad. Pure love and pure intent. This is all that unenlightened man can grasp, and only that in part. So the truly blessed one is the monad, characterized by pure life. The essence of the monad is pure life, is pure being, is possessed of pure will, one of the faculties, the three faculties of the monad, possessed by pure love, or possessing pure love, another faculty, pure intent, which is a specified will, and I would say, in a way, pure intelligence, and this is all that unenlightened man can grasp, and we are in that category, and grasp that only in part. Okay. And then these amazing statements that the blessed ones are not, and yet they are. So they do not manifest except as they wish to, and yet in the inner worlds they are. They are in the inner worlds. They are not as far as the outer world is concerned. They are invisible, and yet they are. The blessed ones know naught. They are not not concerned with the specificities of form in the lower three worlds. Yet they know all, because at the level at which they work, all that has generated form is known. They know not. They are not concerned. They are not involved. They are not involved in the acquiring knowledge of the lower world, because the higher knowledge contains the lower. The blessed ones love not, yet offer love divine. Well, love not. They love not that which is of the lower worlds. Yet they are love itself, and pour it forth. So, in other words, as they love not, we might say, they desire not, yet are the radiation of love. In the monad, the faculty of love, wisdom, is inherent. And they radiate what they are. Their inmost faculties. Will, love, and intelligence, or will, love, wisdom, and intelligence. They have wisdom because they have been long in incarnation. The history of the monad is not just the history in this particular chain and on this globe. They come from the absolute point. They come from the universal logos, which is the one point in all cosmos. They have universal wisdom inherent within them. So they love not as we love. The law of attraction for them does not function as it does for us. Function for them as it does for us. We are still drawn to many factors within the world. We are drawn, we are repelled. We still treat phenomena as if it were noumena. We treat phenomena as reality. We have not outgrown that yet. But they come only for bestowal. They are avataric, in a way, for bestowal. And not for acquisition. The blessed ones remember not, yet all is recollection. Well, this is, we have to square this. Let there be no recollection, and yet let memory rule. But what is meant here is that they do not need to deal with the specific events and experiences recalled, because the harvest of those experiences is built into them. The harvest is built into them, though unless it serves, they do not need to remember or recollect, remember, the specifics. The words remember or remember or memory and vis-a-vis recollection are treated differently than in the 14 rules, where let there be no recollection and yet let memory rule. So, but the same thing is meant. Recollection here means memory as it is expressed in the 14 rules. I'll show you. You probably remember, but it is good always to let there be no recollection, and yet let there be no recollection, and yet let memory rule. Work from the point of all that is within the content of the group's united life. This is rule 2. So we don't need to call to mind the formal specifics as the harvest is there. We do not need to call to mind the formal specifics of memory as the harvest of the experience is with us. We can encumber ourselves if we try to remember every place where we learned something. I mean, when you're driving the car, you don't have to remember where you learned how to work the clutch or the gear shift. If your mind gets occupied with all of those formal specifics, it's a huge waste of time, and it will interfere with the skill of the faculty which was gained from those specific experiences. So those things drop away, and they have the full harvest of all they have been through. It's just that words are used in a different way in this context than they are in Rule 2 in the Rays and the Initiations. The Blessed Ones remain in isolation pure, which is, let's call it, isolated unity, and in oneness, and yet at will can take a form which is related to other forms, and is apparently, or is not, is apparently not isolated. Would they isolate the whole? They isolate the one. They, in all the many, isolate the one. It's a good piece of advice. In all the many, isolate the one. The Blessed Ones dwell ever in the high and lofty place. That is the focus. That is their focus. And the point of tension which they hold allows them to sustain this focus, yet oft walk on earth in light phenomenal. So, you know, the Christ was a blessed one. The Buddha was as well. And the externalizing Chohans will be blessed ones. So we cannot tell just because there is before us a human being. That human being may be a blessed one, holding the state of monadic awareness even in face of form, which is condensed light phenomenal. Or it is light which has become phenomenal. So I think I'll put it down that form is light which has become light phenomenal. The Blessed Ones manifest not through form. They manifest through their higher vehicles. They don't have to manifest through form, but only at will. Only at will if they choose. Say, only at will and if they choose. Yet are all forms and all intents. They identify with the willing being beneath the form. And they identify with that from which all forms arose. So let's read this again because, well, let's see, what page are we on here? About page 32 of Esoteric Psychology 1? 2, Esoteric Psychology 2. It helps sometimes to have the uninterrupted reading. You know, I'm making commentary, but it's better to, afterwards, to get it more directly. The Blessed Ones are not, and yet they are. The Blessed Ones know naught, and yet know all. The Blessed Ones love not, yet offer love divine. The Blessed Ones remember not, yet all is recollection. The Blessed Ones remain in isolation pure, and yet at will can take a form. The Blessed Ones dwell ever in the high and lofty place, yet oft can walk on earth in light phenomenal. The Blessed Ones manifest not through form, yet are all forms and all intents. See, it's what is clear here, the Blessed Ones are in a state of identification. So they can be, they are the being from which all forms arose. I am the one I, God. I am the form in which all forms are merged. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. I am the life, and in that life all little lives remain. So these are, you know, here it is, Esoteric Psychology 2, very beautiful examples of spiritual psychology. Well, I have a new approach now, as you know. I'm going to say that this is the end of the Blessed One's webinar commentaries number 2. And we are on page, not exactly making great page progress here. I suppose we're on page 32. Let's just see. Yes, we're on page 33. So, we will go on to the next one, page 33, and beginning of the Blessed One's webinar commentaries number 3, page 33. All right, friends, we'll do this work in esoteric psychology because somehow it's so important for our state of identification as reality, as being. Our state of identification as something other than condensed light. We may be the light of the world, but we don't have to be identify ourselves with the partialities which condense out of that light or precipitate out of that light. So, we'll go on to number 3 fairly shortly, and we'll see you then. Take care.